All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Vindicta. It's episode 92. And we are going to get into a little bit of the UFO stuff again today. But I would like to go ahead and just share with you some of the news that's coming out. Some of you may have seen this. Some of you may have not. But over the last 24 hours, two Ukrainian combat helicopters that are Hind helicopters. These are missile platform bearing helicopters, have attacked a Russian fuel depot in the territory of Belgorod, Russia. Now, this happened during the early mornings. It was two of the helicopters. They flew in very low altitude so that they couldn't be picked up by any type of radar, which is actually a way that the Ukrainians have learned how to fly many of their helicopters now, at a very low altitude, and they attacked this fuel station in Russia. Now, as far as what I'm gathering, there's been no confirmations of deaths. However, you know, it's Russia, so the news can't get twisted and spun. But this is provocation, once again, for the World War talking points. People say that Putin has massively misjudged Ukraine. I don't think he has. I think Putin has been very reserved on what he's doing in Ukraine, because the whole world is watching. The world would react differently if he just outright attacked and started laying waste to every city that he came by. But this attack from the Ukrainians shows a couple things. For one thing, that they're still in the fight. The Ukrainians are still more than capable of going into another territory like Russia and landing, I guess you could say, a strategic attack. Now, while all this is happening, supposedly they're having peace talks. They're trying to work out terms of how to stop the conflict. Obviously, with now this attack on a fuel depot in Russia, that's not happening. Now, this shows you that this is now, I would say that, and you may disagree with me, I would say you can officially declare this a war. It was originally an invasion with low-yield fighting. I'm sure on the ground it doesn't feel low-yield, but it's not, you know, it's not at the level, I guess you could say, that many people think it's at. From my perspective, if this was going to be a complete onslaught, it would be much worse. But now we have this. So now, not just are the Russians in Ukraine attacking the Ukrainians, but now the Ukrainians are starting to take the fight to Russia. What can this transpire to? What type of reaction are we expected to see from Vladimir Putin's military? I can tell you right now that there is obviously reprisals that are going to happen. This is a tit for tat. And I see this as an element of a buildup for a theory that I have. Something to bait Putin into fully committing into attacking Ukraine. Or at least this is the buildup for, once again, what I think may be an eventuality. I think we're going to see something done by the Azov Battalion with chemical biological weapons released upon areas of Russia amongst population centers, or at least also hitting as well strategic Russian areas where there's a high amount of troop movement or barracks, for the Russian Federation soldiers. I think that's a possibility. I think the possibility of them releasing a biological agent in Mariupol is on the table. And what I see with this is cause for provocation is to drag Russia back into this war, into this conflict, and to force the entire Russian Federation to come in and fight. Just imagine, chemical biological weapons are used by the Ukrainians, most likely the Azov Battalion, by the way, against the Russian soldiers. Yeah, if that happened, I can go ahead and tell you that don't be surprised if a tactical nuke goes off and hits Kiev or hits Mariupol or hits some sort of a known barracks where the Azov Battalion is or other battalions of Ukrainian soldiers, because Putin may get put into a corner and forced to show his hand, the heavy hand of Russia, be forced to really come in and to take out sections of cities with tactical strategic bombing, maybe even small yield nukes, just to get rid of the Azov Battalion. I don't know, that's what I'm betting on. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope I'm completely wrong. But that's how I'm calling it this way. That's how I'm seeing it. I think there are elements in play that are trying to pull Russia back into a conflict. Because you got to think about this. If the Russians are slowly pulling out of parts of Ukraine, well, then continue to provide your element of resistance until they eventually just pull back. And then you can sit back at the negotiation table and hopefully even call a ceasefire. That would be a diplomatic way to do it. I wouldn't say that if it was our home turf to let the enemy take ground. I would always want to take ground back from the invader. But to now, you know, venture all the way out across into Russia and to attack a fuel depot, you know, it's a very military strategic thing. It's an economic attack. But it, at least it wasn't a population center. And this was a very pinpoint strategic attack. You know, this wasn't carpet bombing. This was an artillery fire. This was a mortar fire. This was a directed attack from a assault platform, missile assault platform of a helicopter. So that's kind of what I'm seeing right now. If you if you're picking up anything different, I know at least 20 of you that email me consistently with news on Ukraine. If you're picking up anything different on any of these other various channels or platforms that are out there, and you have intel to send, send it to me so that we can, you know, diagnose everything that's happening and talk about it and put something good together for everybody here in the Wrecker Nation to listen to. Going along with that, thank you everyone for sponsoring me. Thank you everyone who has been helping out with donations. They are greatly, greatly appreciated. I will be setting up a P.O. box very quickly, hopefully sometime this week. Things are just busy around here, so I haven't got the chance to. And when I have the P.O. box done, I will post it on the website. And I'll also announce it, so you'll at least know. Make sure that you're following me over on YouTube and Rumble. Today, the interview with Jamie Walden and I, the video interview, will be airing. It takes a long time for me to have all this to upload and then to edit the videos. And I'm a caveman. I don't know what I'm doing, so it takes me a while to do this. So by tonight, that video will be up. Jamie Walden's a great guy, and you know, if you feel the need to or want to, I would implore you to please send donations to Jamie. What Jamie is doing to help out the Brothers and Sisters of Christ in America is a very, very important mission. I love Jamie to death as a brother, and he's one of the best people that I know. And he's a good man for the fight that we have coming. He's a good man to have on our side. So please give some love and support to Jamie. Support the Omega Dynamics. His book is awesome. I've heard such good things about it. I would tell you that me and Jamie talk about a lot of deep, dark stuff. And we're going to put a special together, and we're going to talk about the valor of men, and about knowing your God, and about standing tall and strong and knowing who God is within you, to show you how to use your honor, your courage, your valor that God gives you on the battlefield. And it'll be a little bit of a motivational thing. So I'll be working on that, just to let you know that's what's in the pipeline. Probably got about 6 or 7 more shows left within the UFO series. And then we're going to move into some cryptids, some Bigfoot, and some other stuff that's around, you know, the U.S. that I know probably plenty of you have heard of. You know, the lake monsters and the Jersey Devils and the haunted places. And, you know, we're going to cover some pretty cool stuff. We're going to do an entire special on Skinwalker Ranch. So that's going to be a really cool one. Skinwalker Ranch is what I'm just absolutely fascinated by. But before we go to a break, I want to go ahead and talk to you about some things that are happening in the world. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Bombshell video: economists at World Government Summit says new financial world order about to shift in dramatic new direction. Now, this is the World Government Summit that is underway in Abu Dhabi. Do you like that, by the way? You like the way that sounds? World Government Summit? So, Dr. Pippa Malmgren, a top American economist who served as a special advisor to former President George W. Bush, made a statement that confirms everything that this guy who wrote the article and others have been reporting for quite some time, that a cashless society is looming right around the corner. God help us. All right, let's hear what this lady has to say.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we're on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Of what a world order really serves, huh? You understand the narrative? Are you getting the point? Guys like Steve Quayle, Dave Hodges, myself now, many others, we come and we talk to you day in and day out about what's going to be taking place upon the earth. They are shifting into a new direction, a new world order. They're going to do away with the old world order. This is where we're going to have ethnos versus ethnos. This is where we're going to have the kingdom versus kingdom. It always has to do with money. All these world wars. The next conflicts will be internal conflicts civilly in every single country. And it's going to probably be crept in slowly but surely. They're going to start, you know, downloading the apps, and you're going to start receiving a little bit of money here and there from your bank, and that's how you're going to pay for everything. I don't know if we're going to keep debit cards and credit cards, but I think the eventuality is to go away from that. You know, there's got to be a lot of technology that has to be developed for this before we can even go that route, though. There's a lot of technology between the way our financial systems are created before we can ever even springboard into this new style of currency. But governments, though, around the world can be able to trade via blockchain and cryptocurrency now. It's we the people and how we do commerce. That's where the change is going to take the slowest part at. And it will probably take 6 months to a year. I'm sure that they already have people working on the electronic transfer systems. I'm sure they already have people working on the technology and the means to do this. Do you understand that they just announced the beginnings of the ability for you to not be able to buy, sell, or trade lest you have the mark? Because you won't have cash. These same countries, these same companies that'll go along with this, will they accept gold and silver? Or will that just be something, you know, hard that you can hold on to, a hard physical asset, and then you can take it to the currency exchange and says, you know, here's my gold for the day. Can I have some credits? Well, just between you and me, these people can kiss my ass. I'm not going along with this. Refused. I absolutely refuse. If you want to stop this, if you want to stop this bullshit from happening, we refuse. As a people. So here I am. I'm on my soapbox already. Let me go ahead and speak to you, Americans, and to the Canadians out there. Our brothers are out there in Australia. Everybody else around the world. I do the analytics on my website so I get to see how many different people around the world are listening. I got like onesies and twosies in like 20 or 30 different countries. But hey man, that's cool to me. Somebody's listening. I'm not just a guy sitting in a spare room on a small poultry farm yelling into a microphone. We do have people that are listening. And the message is spreading. My little bitty show that I have is spreading to a couple people here and there, but the big picture is to continue to spread. This has no veneration for me. I don't give a shit anymore. That's why I quit the government. That's why I now live upon the means of what God gives me, as scary as that can be for me every now and then, because I'm a, I guess you could say, I'm not a neat freak, but I get manic, depressed at times. I'm like, oh my God, how do I pay bills? But hey, the Lord hasn't let me down yet, even though every single time the Son has questioned the Father goes, here you go, you ignorant boy. I'm still taking care of you. So, like I said, you know, it's hard to put full faith and trust in God for me, for my finances, because that's my weak spot. But for everyone else around the world, the weak spot around the world is finances. But let's speak to the Americans real fast, okay? Because in this next distant battlefield that is the next war front, I'm going to be fighting alongside all of you. So everyone that's in the other countries, God be with you. Peace of God be upon you. You better start getting ready now. it's going to turn very ugly within probably the next 3 to 4 years. I'm telling you right now, 3 to 4 years, everything's going to look a little different. But for all you men that are out there in America, we have the ability to stop this. We can still get out and protest. We can still not use this exchange system for financing that the government wants. We can still do barter. We can still do our own versions of selling and trading. We can go around it. Yeah, we have to pay taxes. I don't like it, but that is part of it. Or we as a nation can say, we're not paying taxes. You're a corrupt enemy of the state at this point, government. And we're not going to honor this government who doesn't honor its own citizens. So we're not going to pay taxes. That would be something that I would like to hear a church elder speak about. I'd like to hear a very prominent pastor or preacher talk about. I haven't heard it, though. Have you? Maybe onesies and twosies, right? But let me speak to the men for a second, because we have a large audience, the men are not the bigger part of my audience. And I want to be able to speak to the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. So if you know somebody that this message is good for, share it with them. Where is your vendicta, America? Where is your burning anger and rage about what's happening to your country? When are you going to finally care? Who was it that robbed the compassion from you? Who was it that lulled you to sleep, men of America? As you play on your damn phones, you play your fantasy football, you sit back and you get fat and you drink your beer and eat your corn chips, and you watch your sports and you let the world just deteriorate around you, when it is we who make this world, make this nation great. We're also the ones who have destroyed it, because we have stepped aside and allowed weak men and women ruin this country. Weak men and evil women. Aggressively evil women. And horribly effeminate weak men have ruined this country. We need to get it back. It's America's worth fighting for. Freedom is worth dying over. It's worth fighting for. It's for our children's future. And guess what? For all you dipshits out there that don't understand this, that future is your future as well. You're going to have to live in this. You're going to have to deal with it. And if you're a father like I am, then you're going to have to raise your children in this. We have a say. We have a say. We have the only right to stand up and do what is right in this country. You can't count on the government to do it. Just listen to the most recent interview from the Warrior Poet Society that John Lovell did with the young congressman from South Carolina, Cawthorn. And Representative Cawthorn, right there in that interview, talks about how he's being invited to sex orgies by other representatives that are congressmen and senators. They're doing drugs in front of them. They're doing all sorts of illegal acts. And he said, you know, you would think it's the AOCs, and you would think that it was the Antifa that's the worst enemy of America, but it's really the rhinos. It's really the old heads of government that are still around. That is part of that old world order. Be warned, though, the new world order is going to come in and say that they are the knight in shining armor here to rescue everybody. They are not. They are the accomplices, the prelude to the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying in 4 or 5 years the Antichrist is going to be around. I don't know. All I can tell you is the beast system is being developed. It's been in the developmental stages. But now we have leaders that are coming out saying, hey, man, in 2 or 3 years, you ain't going to have cash anymore. We're going to be able to control every single digit, not dime. That's scary. That's super scary to me. Because our government is so incompetent, they don't know how to balance a budget, and yet they're going to be the ones who give you money. No thanks, man. I don't want to be a part of that shit. No thank you. Sorry for the swearing for everybody out there who gets upset. Nobody's told me yet that they're upset about my extensive amount of swearing. And I'm just waiting for the day so I can come unglued on somebody. Because I have people every now and then, they're like, oh man, you swear too much. Like, yeah, you know, the same people who say I swear too much will go to a church that accepts every evil and debauchery that Satan wants. And then they go, hey man, you swear too much. And I just smile and I laugh like, yeah, my swearing is what you should be worried about right now. Not World War III, not famine, not plague, not pestilence. Not your corrupt government, not the Antichrist beast system coming online. It's Doug swearing. That's what you should be worrying about. Well, because this is a family show, there's only like 3 swear words that I use that are deemed acceptable in society and on radio. And I am trying to learn to use them not as frequently. I'm not going to lie to you. I get very animated and pissed off when I sit here in front of this microphone because I feel like I'm in an echo chamber. I feel like I sit here and I say things that should be common sense. Like, the government's corrupt. That should be common sense. Our corrupt government is giving money to neo-Nazis in Ukraine. That should be common sense. Where's my representative standing up saying anything about it? The FBI knows what's happening. The CIA knows what's happening. Where are you assholes getting up saying anything about it? You're not there. At this rate, you're complicit. You're complicit. We have a government that's complicit with neo-Nazis at this point. Why does that not make anyone else upset? Could you imagine what the World War II survivors are thinking right now? Listen to this. World Economic Forum Klaus Schwab warns that global energy systems and food systems and supply chains will be deeply affected soon. Let's hear what this idiot has to say.
Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it's my great honor to participate for the 8th time at this important meeting, even if only in a virtual way. I would like to express my high respect to His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum for having taken the initiative for creating such an important global platform for governments shaping the future. I also want to congratulate Dubai for having organized such a successful World Expo despite all the repercussions of the global pandemic. Last November, in partnership with His Excellency Mohammed Al-Gargawi, we brought together 60 top intellectual thinkers here in Dubai. Thank you to His Excellency for enabling this initiative to define a long-term narrative to make the world more resilient, more inclusive, and more sustainable. With all the current issues on our agenda, we tend to forget that we are in the midst of the 4th Industrial Revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous 3 revolutions. I'm proud that the government of Dubai has been so foresighted in establishing a center for the 4th Industrial Revolution in cooperation with the World Economic Forum. The objective is to quickly recognize the potential of new technologies as well as develop the necessary ethical and political frameworks around those new technologies to ensure that those technologies are human-centered and society-oriented. The world has to overcome not only the damage done to our economies and our societies by COVID-19, it also has to confront the repercussions of a dangerous clash between major global powers. History is truly at a turning point. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. In times of crisis, the role of governments is more important and more relevant than ever. What is also needed is a summit like this one to go beyond crisis management and to look into constructive ways we can build our common future. Our futures are intrinsically connected to one another, as the profound challenges to mankind, such as climate change, are globally interconnected and require collaborative responses. In conclusion, and despite all the challenges, we have to uphold our responsibility, which we have towards the next generation, and which we can only fulfill through collaboration on a national and on a global level. I wish you an impactful and successful meeting.
Yeah, shut up. Who cares about you? So, Klaus Schwab, this guy is literally evil at this point. Now, last Thursday, Let's Go Brandon held a solo press conference in Brussels in Belgium amid meetings with NATO members, and he was asked if he discussed potential food shortages during his little meeting with all the fellow members of NATO. And Biden said that there will be food shortages in Europe and the United States as a result of Putin invading Ukraine. Now, if you didn't understand what this guy was saying, what he said was, Klaus Schwab said was, we do not know yet the full extent and the systemic structural changes which will happen. However, we do know the global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. Now, when you see these people, all these guys that are heads of government, they're telling you they know what's best for your future, they know what's best for you, they know how to lead you into the direction to be the saviors of humanity, and that's why you'll own nothing and you'll love it. That's why you'll have a digital currency, and that's why you'll have a little chip in your hand or in your forehead to make things convenient for purchasing stuff. And then they'll get rid of religion because, you know, it just drives animosity in between people. That's the future to look forward to. They're telling you right now. The narratives are being wrote. Food shortages. That's what's coming. So, a little innocent plug for me. Go to mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekkr5, R-E-K-K-R-5, for a 5% discount. Please visit Jeff's website. Please support your small business. And get the food that you need while you can now. You can also use my Patriot Supply. They're also a sponsor of this show. I get a 10% commission. If you go through the website, you click on the link, and then you purchase food that way. I'm trying to make it to where there's a better way of doing this. But as of right now, look, I don't care if you go to these websites or my sponsors at all. I really don't. That's up to you. I would rather you take the money that you make, go buy rice, go buy beans, go buy flour, canned meat, canned vegetable goods, bottles of water, gallons of water, your baby formula, you know, all that stuff. I'd rather you go out and buy that now instead of having, you know, the really nice freeze-dried meal, pre-made packaged meals, because, and, you know, this is probably, like, not a good idea to do this, so sorry to all my sponsors, but I would feel, like, corrupt if I didn't say this. You can buy 5 times the amount of food with that money than what you can with a lot of these bucket meals. It's just fact. That's just fact. All right? You need to make sure that you're also buying utensils. Stainless steel pots, by the way. Stainless steel pots. So that you can have something to hang over a fire if need be. Because if the power goes out, you don't want to open a flame inside your house. You shouldn't be cooking in your house at that point. You should be cooking outside. So, practice now. Buy the equipment now. Learn now how to make these meals and make them taste good. Because the last thing you want is to, you know, throw all this stuff together when the prophecies hit the fan. You're like, oh man, that tastes like crap. And then you have to waste your precious resource of hot sauce to make it taste okay. So practice now. Learn what foods are good now. I'll tell you one food source that I actually do like a lot. And that's Peak Refuel. And at mountain-state-survival.com, they do sell Peak Refuel, the pre-made food packets. That's like something I actually do eat throughout the week. Those are extremely good. The chicken Alfredo is amazing. And I've ate MREs for years and years, and every one of them were as nasty as the next one. The Peak Refuel is actually really good stuff. Once again, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble for saying stuff like that, but I really don't care. This is about survivability for America, not Doug getting some kickbacks. I really don't care. I would rather... every listener send me a dollar, then, you know, take a paycheck from any of these companies at this point. I really, really would. You know, I am all in this at this point to make sure that Americans can better survive for the coming apocalypse or the post-patriotic apocalypse that we'd like to talk about. You know, we make fun of that, but it is really something that I harp on, is prepping. It really is. It's a mainstay in my daily life, is constantly reassessing what it is I need to do here on the farm to make sure that I'm better situated, my family's better situated, in case the power goes out, in case X, Y, and Z happens. You never know. We do not live in this will never happen to me land. They're already telling you the food shortage is coming. Be ready. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Okay, let's get straight into it. Former USA, U.S. Air Force, boy, I messed that up, didn't I? USA. Former U.S. Air Force officers to present evidence of UFOs tampering with nuclear weapons. Former officers call on the U.S. Congress to hold public meetings. This was an article wrote by PRNNewswire.com. PRNewswire.com, excuse me. And this was wrote October 7, 2021. Let's go ahead and read it. Declassified U.S. government documents and witness testimony from former or retired U.S. Air Force personnel to be presented as evidence of ongoing incursions by unidentified aerial objects at nuclear missile sites over several decades. These will be cited to support the claim that nuclear missiles were inexplicably disabled while a unidentified aerial phenomena object silently hovered nearby. Four former officers involved in such encounters will discuss these and other incidents at the National Press Club and urge U.S. Congress to investigate and hold public hearings. Former Air Force officer Robert Salas was the on-duty commander of an underground launch control facility assigned to Maelstrom Air Force Base in Montana on March 24, 1967. He has publicly stated over a span of 25 years that all 10 of his ICBMs became inoperable and that 8 days earlier on March 16, 1967, a similar incident occurred at another missile launch control facility. Numerous other UFO-related incidents with possible implications for national security have been publicly acknowledged by former public officials, whose efforts resulted in the creation of a secret Pentagon UFO investigations group. We already know it. The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, ATIP. Now, this press conference will present witness testimony and other evidence of many such incidents. The first UFOs and Nukes press conference held on September 27, 2010, which Robert Salas co-sponsored with Robert Hastings, was extensively covered by the media worldwide. Now, this is already come and gone. Did you hear anything about it? Of course not. No one did. So, real quick, we're going to go into the next topic here. I said we were going to talk about some craft, and the most common craft that you see in a lot of these reports that I'm reading now, or that are represented in reports worldwide, are the triangular-like aircraft. Now, this is represented by nighttime photos and video of typically three bright lights in the sky in the shape of a triangle. Or, to some extent, in very good video, it's an actual floating triangle. Some of them even look pyramidal. So, we have to understand that if that is being the most common shape of these UFOs next to the orb, just the bright light, what is it? What could it be? So, off of HistoryChannel.com, let's go. Within the larger mystery of the UFO phenomena is another still unsolved puzzle. Why do so many reports involve strange triangular-shaped craft? Often described as dark in color, virtually noiseless, and the size of a football field or larger. What exactly are they? And why are so many witnesses hovering or moving slowly and methodically with no visible contrails? In the years after the U.S. Air Force coined the term unidentified flying object in 1952, reports often refer to UFOs generically as flying saucers, but witnesses then and since have described a wide array of shapes. Saucers, or two saucers put together, egg-shaped, hat-shaped, cigar-shaped, boomerang-shaped, light bulb-shaped, even Tic Tac candy-shaped. Now, to add to this, and this isn't in this report, but just to add to this, a lot of these shapes we know and are verified by pilots, not just in the private industry of flying, but commercial airline pilots. There is a ton of those reports of these various different shapes from military pilots, private plane pilots, and then the commercial series. All right, going on. Among the most common reported shapes were V-shaped, arrowhead-like, or triangular. David Marler, a UFO researcher and author of Triangular UFOs, An Estimate of the Situation, says he has reviewed more than 17,000 case files involving unidentified triangular craft, sometimes called black triangles. Whether the sightings represent advanced U.S. spy craft, as some speculate, or something of unknown origin, their purpose remains mysterious. Given their consistent hovering behavior, Marler says that they might be engaged in surveillance of some nature or scanning, or analyzing the topography of land. There have been many instances in which these vehicles have been observed over bases, over military bases, that are operated by the Strategic Air Command. Now, that comes from Chris Mellon, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence during the Clinton and Bush W. Or the George W. Bush administrations. And his career focused on unconventional threats to American security. Now, Chris Mellon is now an integral part of the investigation team featured on the History Channel's Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation. An international phenomena. In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, triangular UFO reports hailed from across the U.S. and beyond. During the 1960s, at the height of the Cold War, UFO fever. Mysterious flying triangles were reported over Connecticut, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Texas, as well as London, the Madrid, Czechoslovakia. In 1969, two National Guard pilots tailed a triangular-shaped object 50 feet in diameter for 20 minutes over the San Juan, Puerto Rico, until they ran low on fuel and had to return to their base. Many of these incidents would be attributed by officials to atmospheric conditions, weather balloons, or other everyday sources, but some remained unexplained. Between 1983 and 1986, a notable rash of mass sightings occurred in New York's Hudson Valley, some 50 miles north of New York City. One witness, Kevin Soravia, a retired lieutenant from the Yorktown Police Department, described a huge silent craft 100 yards from wingtip to wingtip, hovering low, which banked and made a 45-degree turn before abruptly speeding off. Soravia said he called the Stewart Air Force Base in nearby Newburgh to determine whether one of its C-5 transport planes, then the world's largest and heaviest aircraft, had been in the skies that night. But none had. Later, that year, a hulking triangular UFO hovering over a stretch of New York's Taconic Parkway prompted a huge traffic pileup as scores of motorists stopped to get a better look. Similar incidents continued in the region for several years. They exceeded the limitations of conventional aviation. Many witnesses described what they perceived to be the craft's extraordinary abilities. One evening in late November 1989, two police officers on patrol in Eupen, Belgium, not far from the German border, spotted an odd triangular object overhead. In the ensuing days, hundreds of Belgians reported similar UFOs, describing in news reports as triangular object with a bright red center light or as a flying platform with three huge searchlights. In March 1990, the Belgian Air Force sent up two F-16 fighter jets to get a closer look at one triangular object that had been spotted on a radar. Their onboard computers recorded the object's remarkable maneuverability and its ability to accelerate from 1,000 kilometers per hour, which is about 621 miles per hour, to 1,800 kilometers per hour, which is about 1,120 miles per hour, within seconds. What the computers registered exceeded the limits of conventional aviation, says a Belgian Air Force colonel. TR-3B. That's what we're talking about. Everybody knows this as the TR-3, the TR-3B, the TR-3 Black Manta. So the TR-3A Black Manta is reputedly a United States Air Force spy plane. It's allegedly a black program. Its existence is officially denied to everybody, and the TR-3A is claimed to be a subsonic stealth spy plane with a flying wing design that came originally from the Nazi Germany era. It was alleged to have been used in the Gulf War to provide laser designation for the F-117A Nighthawk bombers, also for targeting use with laser-guided smart bombs. The TR-3A is supposedly manufactured by Northrop Grumman. Because there is no hard evidence of the involvement of any other stealth aircraft in the Gulf War, another hypothesis has arisen. This holds that whatever the vehicle has been identified as, this TR-3 is nothing more than a prototype for the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber. Earlier theories that the TR-3 was related to the Tier 3 program do not correspond with the time or appearance of the latter. This relation was suggested by the coincidental phonetical correspondence. Now, the Tier 3 resulted in the 1990s in the RQ-3 Dark Star, an aircraft with a totally different design. The TR-3 code is a continuation of the TR-1/ER-2 series, and it is also not proven, however, since all TR-1s and the U-2 bombers were renamed U-2R in 1992. Are you following me yet? Another candidate for the alleged spy plane is a design from the Teledyne Ryan patent in the United States on April 26, 1977, under patent number 4,019,699. This aircraft of low observability, as it's called, was invented by Robert W. Wintersdorf and George R. Cota, employees of the Teledyne Ryan, a firm specialized in building unmanned reconnaissance aircraft, on May 10, 1977. A design of an aircraft was patented by Teledyne Ryan under number designation 244.265 and closely resembles the earlier mentioned examples. This design was made by Waldo Virgil Opfer. The first design is unmanned. The second one is a manned aircraft. Whether one of these designs is related to the above-mentioned TR-3A is not positively identified at this point, but it is a coincidence that TR also stands for Teledyne Ryan. Teledyne Ryan was procured by Northrop Grumman in 1999. The Teledyne Ryan designs also strongly resemble the unidentified flying objects and photographs in Belgium in 1989 and 1990, which were chased by the Belgian Air Force and seen by hundreds of people. So there you go. There's your little backstory on the TR-3B Mantas, the TR-3 technology that's been around since the 70s. And here's the thing, when we talk about, you know, nuts and bolts aircraft, these are the supposed nuts and bolts aircraft that are man-made. We can say that they were back-engineered. We can say that they were a new, different type of spy craft. It doesn't matter at this point because the government will never come right out and say it. There are other craft out there that we've mentioned. The Nazi Bell is a very good one to go back in history and play around with. I think we're going to be introduced into more of these, and I think these aircraft have also, I guess you could say, shaped and re-harnessed the need for more adaptable spy aircraft by our military. But just look at our drones now and how advanced they are. You know, drones can be 30,000 feet up in the air, and they can hear what you say through microphones, and they can see the name tag that you wear. So the equipment is very advanced, right? It's extremely advanced. I don't want to get into it too much because I know some of it, but you would be shocked. But that's just what we have. But still, even with what we have, with what our military, the current military uses on the current battlefield, how do we explain all the other sightings? How do we explain millions of evidence of the evidentiary stuff that's been out there for the videos, like the Phoenix Lights. There are all different types of stuff out there. Do your own research. The UFO topic's a fun rabbit hole to go down. For anyone who has any good UFO stories, please send them to me. I love listening to them. To everyone that's out there, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for putting up with me. Stay prepped. Stay prepared. You never know what's going to happen in this crazy world. Stay frosty, gents. Bad times are coming in this country. Let's make sure that we're all prepared for it. Thank you very much to everyone who's listening. My name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. God be with you all. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.